So last week we commenced what I intend to be a brief study covering the subject of enjoying life with the Lord. Because we all want to enjoy life. We want to enjoy what the Lord has given to us, but we struggle for various and different reasons. And so it is good to highlight this subject. Now, as I said to you last Lord's Day morning, I know there are groups who abuse this idea of enjoying life, and it's called the health and wealth and prosperity gospel. That's an abuse of the promises of God's word. It's an abuse of God's nature. I'm not for a moment saying here that if you have enough faith, you will have no troubles. That's a lie. You will always have troubles. What I am presenting to you this morning and for the next few weeks in the will of God is that there is a joyful experience for every believer to have every day, even in the midst of troubles. There's a joyful experience that God would have you to enjoy. So last Lord's Day morning, we concluded that the key to experiencing joy is first of all to know the Lord, to be saved. To experience the greatest sense of joy, you need to be Christ's. And you need the Lord to be in your heart and your soul. You need the Lord to be living within you and working through you. You want the fullest experience of God dwelling in you. With that, we considered 1 Timothy 6:17. And I encouraged you to recite this verse to yourself all week. 1 Timothy 6:17, that simple phrase where we read, "The living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." And that's fundamental to this study. You have the living God, not some phantom, not some source, not some energy, but a living, breathing, relational God who can relate to you in the sense that he's a person. A living God who knows and sees and is all powerful, and a God who loves you. The living God who giveth, that means he dispenses something to you, something that you can possess and have. The living God who giveth us, sinners, fallen sons of Adam and Eve, daughters of Adam and Eve, he giveth us richly, not stingily, but in abundance. He giveth us richly all things, everything we have. For what purpose? That you would enjoy it. That's why. You think of that every time food crosses your lips. God gave it to you that you might enjoy it. Every breath. And receive every breath. And from time to time think about it. I'm receiving oxygen. For the Lord gave it for my enjoyment. And begin to look at life habitually in that way. Like I said last week, when we speak about a relationship with the Lord, we're not talking here about a religion of rules and regulations. We're talking about a relationship. And as I said to you last week, I'm not standing here laughing. I'm not standing here being jovial. I'm being reasonably solemn and serious. But let me tell you, I am filled with joy. I'm not here to say that God says you have to plaster on a daft smile and be laughing all the time. Joy is much deeper than that. It's a content, satisfaction. It's a gladness and a happiness that resides in the soul. And I said it last week and I say it again. There is nowhere on planet Earth I would rather be than here. I enjoy being here. I enjoy being saved. And if you're saved, that's the same for you to some degree. So, last week we considered our position. If you're going to experience joy to its fullness, you have to be in a particular position. And that position is in Christ. the verse says, in thy presence. And we have it there this morning in Psalm 16, verse 11. At the halfway part of the verse, it says, in thy presence. That's our position. In the Lord's presence, at his feet. There we have the opportunity to enjoy enjoyment. That's our position. This morning, I want to talk about the pleasure. You see, when we're in the right position, when we are in the presence of the Lord, what is the experience? Well, it is the fullness of joy. And it's that pleasure I want to focus on here this morning. And there's three questions that I want to leave with you, and they are as follows. Is it God's will for us to experience joy? Is it? Secondly, what is joy? And thirdly, where is the source of joy to be found? And we'll work through these. If not today, we'll finish them next or the next Lord's Day we meet in this nature. Firstly, is it God's will for us to experience joy? Now, I've alluded to this last week, but I want to really drive it home this morning. And I want you to leave with absolute clarity of mind that it is God's will for you to be experiencing joy. Not to be miserable, not to be sad, but to be joyful. That's God's plan, God's desire for you. So let me work through that with you for a moment here. When we think about experiencing joy, let's be truthful about this now. There are some people, and you know this, and maybe you struggle with this as well. There are some people who believe and genuinely think. Now, if you're a Christian, you cannot be joyful. You have to be dull, and you have to be serious. It is true. It's not healthy to be light and frivolous all the time. But there is nothing in this book that indicates that you are to be sour and dull. You will not find that in Scripture. It's just not there. The Word of God does not say that. There's some people who believe you do have to be sour, but that's just not true. Some people never really think about joy. They go through their life in a mechanical fashion. Life is the way it has always been. They do their daily tasks and never really think about what kind of blessings God has in store. Is there something more that I'm not enjoying? Is there something more that God has designed for me and I haven't taken it yet? And some of that will miss out. They'll not enjoy everything that God has for them to enjoy. And then perhaps there is another group which we all fall into, because sometimes we're so filled with stress and we're so filled with the troubles of living that the potential of feeling joyful seems like an impossibility. And who here ever felt like that? All of us. When stress overwhelms you and joy seems an impossibility. Well, let's look at some verses here this morning. We're going to go to the book of Ecclesiastes, and let's stay in Ecclesiastes here from number 2. Here we have Solomon's book, and let's turn there, Ecclesiastes. So you have the Psalms, you have the Proverbs, then you have Ecclesiastes. And turn with me to chapter 2, first of all. Chapter 2. And look at the verse 24 with me. Ecclesiastes, yep, chapter 2, and the verse 24. And it says here, there is nothing better for a man. Now stop. That sounds rather important. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy the good of his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. Did you see that now? The Word of God says, by inspiration, Solomon was by no means perfect, but he's inspired here, and he's moved by the hand of God, and he says, there's nothing better but to eat and to drink and to enjoy the fruit of your labor. This is from the hand of God. And you see the word enjoyment there. So keep that verse in mind. Nothing better for you than to enjoy it. Go to chapter 3. And the verse number 12. Let's not take this one verse in isolation. Let's capture everything in this book that says this kind of language. So Ecclesiastes 3 verse 12, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. So here's what's being said here as we progress through these verses. God will prosper you to whatever degree he will permit you to move on. He will prosper you, and whatever way he does, it's for you to enjoy. Enjoy it. If the Lord makes you a millionaire, enjoy it. Don't feel guilty about it. The Lord gave it to you. Enjoy it. If you have very humble possessions, the Lord gave them to you. Enjoy them. Let somebody else enjoy what they have. You make sure you enjoy what you have. It is never God's will to live in covetousness and continue to look at what other people have. You focus on what God has given you and enjoy that. And that is the key to contentment and happiness here. That's what these verses are saying. The gift of God is the fruit of your labor. What you possess, he has given. Let's move over, please, to chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes. And the verse 18. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Now, similar language here, but described in different ways. It's the gift of God. Now we're told it's God's portion. Do you understand what that means? Listen, you all understand what a portion is. Because if I set down a cake here, and I put it into, let's say, well, I don't know, 20 pieces. Some of you would be wondering, well, hang on a minute, there's more than 20 people here. I want a portion as well. A portion is your bit. It's your slice of the cake. And God has sliced up creation. And he's given you your corner of the cake. For what purpose? Not to plague you. Not to annoy you. Not to drive you to jealousy over what everybody else has. But no, to enjoy your slice. Your slice might not be as big as someone else's. That is completely irrelevant. God has given you something to enjoy. So enjoy your portion. Enjoy your slice of the cake. Chapter 7 and the verse 14. Chapter 7, 14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also have set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. It's the first part of that verse that's relevant to us today. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. Enjoy your prosperity that God would grant to you. Go to chapter 8 and the verse 15. Chapter 8, verse 15. Then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. For that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life which God giveth him under the sun. Chapter 9 and the verse 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion, your slice of the cake, in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. And so the Lord's making it clear, enjoy what comes your hand, your wife, your labor, your work, whatever it may be, enjoy it. But, let me say something here. These verses are not encouraging an unlawful, ungodly, exuberant indulgence, obviously. Because at the end of this book, Solomon speaks to young people. And he tells them the same thing. Enjoy life. Enjoy what you have. But. And let's read the but. Chapter 11 and the verse 9. And this verse really now nails it all together. All right. Ecclesiastes 11 and the verse number 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. Let's just stop there. Now soak in what's been said, because sometimes you might feel that'll be wrong counsel to give to anyone. You would never say to someone that kind of language. Well, God does. He says, rejoice in your youth. Let your heart cheer you all your days. Walk in the ways of thine heart. Do your heart's desire. Pursue your heart's desire. Do what's good in thine own sight. Do it all. But don't do it without restraint. So let's read the verse again. Verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. You go and enjoy life. Every time you eat a meal, enjoy it to its full, absolutely. But know this, you do it in a God-glorifying way. Because if you do it in a sinful way, know this, you will give answer to God for how you have abused your portion of the cake. If you begin to worship your portion of the cake, if you live for your portion of the cake, if that becomes your God, that's sin. And there will be repercussions. Enjoy what God gives you. But do not forget the one who gave it to you. This is important when we come to the subject of joy. We must enjoy all good things with restraint. Now, 1 Timothy 6:17, like we read last week, in the living God's, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. God gives you your portion, everything for you to enjoy it. Now, we are told in this book over and over again, do not be anxious. Do not be fearful. Do not be sad and miserable. We are told to be joyful, to be happy, to be glad. This is the God that we worship. He is interested in your well-being and in your happiness. Now, we all want to be happy. There is no one, and I emphasize this, there is no one who wants to be miserable. If everyone had an option at the beginning of life, do you want a miserable life or a happy life? Everyone would choose happiness. Do you know why? Because that's the way God has made us. He has made us that we would desire happiness. That's the way we're made. That's why everybody wants it. No one desires to be miserable. Now that being said, we cannot pursue happiness as our ultimate goal. Happiness, joy, is not your ultimate goal. You see, there are people, the entire human race makes decisions based upon their happiness. Everybody makes decisions to achieve happiness. You do what you do, that it may, somewhere down the road, bring you happiness. People go to work, very often, in pursuit of happiness. It may be they like serving people. It may be they like money. And so at the end of the week, they'll get their money, and that money will make them happy. And so people will make decisions based upon what they think will make them happy. And what you're doing there is you're making happiness and joy your goal. And that's a problem. We don't worship happiness. We don't worship joy. We worship God. So the reason I'm saying that is this. The Lord wants you to be at people who are happy and to enjoy life and what he gives you. But that doesn't mean you can go out and do what's sinful. You can't go out and break God's law and justify it by saying, well, that's what makes me happy and God wants me to be happy. I'm not making examples. You can think of plenty yourself, I'm sure. But if there's something that God prohibits and you indulge in it, and I come to your door and I say to you that sin, do not turn around and say to me, well, hang on a minute, it makes me happy. That does not justify living sinfully. You see, Adam and Eve fell for the lie that if they possess something which God has said is sin, if they can get that sinful thing, then they will be happy. They were not happy. It did not bring joy. It brought destruction. Don't you fall for the same thing as well? Now, here's where we're going with this. It is certainly God's will for his people to be happy, but not at any cost. I'll say that again. It is God's will for his people to be happy and joyful, but not at any cost. Let's go to Hebrews 11 for a moment, please. Hebrews 11. It's the verse. Well, let's pick up at verse 23. Hebrews 11 and the verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, then, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, I take you this verse for this reason. Well, there's several reasons, but we'll begin here at least. Moses is commended here for choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. He's commended. Moses, you chose to suffer, to live in obedience to me, rather than living worldly and sinfully. You see, Moses did not make enjoyment his God. God was his God. Jehovah was his God. And he would live in obedience. Now that's important for us today. Pleasure and joy should not be our pursuit at every cost. But I have to say something here. You see when the Bible says, enjoy the pleasures of sin, that same word, joy, is the same word you find elsewhere in the Bible. There is a joy in sin. That's what the Bible says. To enjoy the same way we enjoy heaven, the same way we enjoy the Lord. You can enjoy the pleasure of sin. And we'll flesh that out as we work through the study. But for now, let that sink in. You can enjoy sin, but Moses chose not to do so, and God commended him. You see, God's path to joy and happiness isn't necessarily the path that you and I would set out for ourselves. Listen, if we want to enjoy something, we might have certain things in mind. If we achieve that or if we get that, that'll bring us joy. That's when my life will be full and then I'll be content. Well, let me tell you how God paves the way for you to be joyful. We'll not turn to all these verses, but here's God's pathway, if you like, to finding joy. Number one, we are told to deny self. Deny yourself. That's the complete opposite to how we pursue joy. We focus on ourselves. No, the Lord says, deny yourself. Furthermore, the Lord says, take up your cross. That doesn't sound particularly enjoyable, does it? Deny yourself. Ignore yourself. Take up your cross. Consider yourself dead to sin. Now, what does that mean? Being dead to sin means that when sin entices you, you're dead. You're completely unresponsive to it. When sin tries to allure you in, you're like a dead body. I don't sin. I don't disobey God. And so when the devil tempts you, when the world tempts you, when the flesh tempts you, you're dead. You don't do it. You don't think about it. You don't reason it out. You don't think, well, you know, I want to be happy and this might make me happy. It will not make you happy. Sin will never, ever, 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 ever bring you the joy that God can give you. There is pleasure in sin for a season. And we'll work on that some other day. All right? But let me tell you now, every bite of sin you take, like Adam and Eve, you're tempted. The temptation is the only bit of joy in it, because when you bite it, sin will be sour in your mouth. Anyway, deny yourself. Take up your cross. Consider oneself dead to sin. And that's the Lord's path to being joyful. And you'll find that it works. You see, plenty of people will choose the opposite. They will choose sinful actions. And remember what sinful actions is. It's a transgression of God's law. And they'll choose sin in the pursuit of happiness. For example, sexual immorality. Plenty of people embrace it. And it always ends up in shame, hurt, maybe an unplanned for pregnancy, alienation from many things that would bring you joy. Sexual immorality doesn't end well. Just a fact. The pursuit of money. Living to gain more money so that you will find happiness doesn't work, because there are plenty of people who sit enthroned upon an abundance of wealth, and they will attest a deep, unsatisfied, unhappy life. Listen, you know full well it doesn't bring happiness. Now, we have to be honest here. Money helps to relieve burdens in life. If there's bills to be paid, if there's problems before you, you need to have food on the table. So we need money for those things. And it's a burden when you haven't enough money. But don't make this quantum leap into thinking that money makes you happy. That's two different things. Money will alleviate the burdens of not being able to pay for food and for sustenance and for whatever your necessities, but an abundance of it will never make you happy. Get that clearly in your mind. If we have enough for today, let that suffice. Be content with your portion. You see, men and women, the happiest people that I know, the happiest people that I know in this life are the people who do not fixate and focus upon themselves. The happiest people I know are the people who do not live for themselves and live to possess as much as they can. Those are the most unpleasant. But the happiest people that I know, and the people that you most want to be around, think of it that way. The people that you most want to be around are the happiest people, and they are the people who love God and who love their neighbor. That's it. But the people who have not enough time for God, or the people who love themselves, are the most off-putting. Don't you know that? You know that to be true. And how often are we in the position that we're fixated on ourselves and our own desires and our own wants, and we're not thinking about God and those around us? The happiest people around are those who love God and love their fellow men. As the Lord said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. It's simple, but we seem to struggle. So let's go to Psalm 112 for a moment here. Psalm 112. And the verse 1. And let me read these couple of Psalms with you. So, Psalm 112 and the verse 1. It says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed. And that word blessed means happy. The same as the very first word of the first Psalm. All right. Praise ye the Lord, blessed, happy is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Do you see that? Happy is the man who fears God and seeks to live in obedience to the Lord. Isn't that what the first Psalm says? Blessed, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. that sitteth in the seat of scornfuls, the scorners, and so on. It's the one who meditates in thy law day and night. He's the happy one. It's the one who loves the law and seeks to walk in obedience. And that is the way to happiness. To do that requires denying self. You might pursue sin. God says no sin. You deny your own desires and you do what God says. And it brings happiness. That's the way the Lord has made you. Go to Psalm 128. Psalm 128 and the verse 1 again. Blessed, happy is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. That verse 1 is the exact same as Psalm 1, as the psalm we just read, and here it is again, Psalm 128. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, happy is the man, happy is the woman, happy is the child that obeys the Lord, who does not walk in sin, but pursues God with all of their heart, all of their soul, and all of their mind. Not focusing upon self, focusing upon the Lord and upon others round about us. I'm not going to go any further this morning. We'll leave it there. Perhaps it would be beneficial just to go to Psalm 1:1 and we'll finish there. You all know it anyway, Psalm 1, verse 1. Happy is the man. And I probably don't have to say it to you, but it is a reality. The word blessed and happy is the exact same word. Okay? Happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It's continually in his mind. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree, not withering, not struggling, but like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's where I want to be. And I have no doubt that's where you want to be. And that's where God would want you to be. But you'll never be there if we only make a God out of joy and we do what we think makes us happy. Now the Lord said, enjoy what he gives to you. Enjoy the portion, the slice of cake that God has given you. Be content with it every day. And make sure you live to worship God and to love your fellow man. That is simply point one this morning. I would love to have got more done, but that's where we are. We'll come back the next time we're here. That'll be Sunday week to deal with this subject. We'll think about defining what joy is, because joy might not be what you think it is. And we'll talk about where to get joy, its source. That's important to understand. But for today, understand this. Happy is the man, woman or child, that lives in obedience to God. And know this, God's given you a portion. Don't feel guilty about enjoying it, but ensure that you enjoy it. And ask the Lord, Lord, help me, help me, help me. And I've had to press many a time too. Lord, help me to enjoy the portion I have. Because sometimes the portion you have might have grit in it. You ask God for grace. That even the thorns in your flesh, you will understand, these are for your good and for God's glory. And enjoy all that God has given you.